like to, if I had a job or something, like that dress I showed you.
Yeah, well, that might come in handy. Heather might have a job or something, and you could, they almost know how to get one.
I can't figure out how to fix them.
Oh.
I always get them right there.
Well, they're good. It's not made to fit.
Maddie wears hers.
Put a piece in.
She's got a Takahashi's gave her this for graduation, this red outfit. That's really neat. You know, they have really nice clothes.
Who gave it to her?
Takahashi. Oh, she wore.
Oh.
And she wore her thick bloomers underneath.
Hello, hello. This is the story of the big stir up in Lowell High School. My friend Mary always said she wanted to leave her mark in at Lowell, and she couldn't think of anything except for something nasty against the dean who ran the school and was like a dictator and who created her own problems. The only thing she could think of were nasty things like putting saran wrap on the toilet seats and things like that. But, so one day, her art teacher, by the way, the art department at Lowell is very, very poor. There's two art rooms, and there's really bad art supplies, and the teachers aren't very good. Mary's teacher, a man, Mr. Nichols, was pretty, well, if you didn't have any outside art training, you were pretty lost in his class. You just were on your own, and there wasn't much hope for you unless someone else could help you. But Mary had an outside art training, and she's quite good. And the summer before, she had been taking classes at the Academy of Art, and had been doing lots of nude studies, and plus portraits, so many oil portraits. So he knew she was good, and he asked her if she would like to put a show up in the showcase. And so she said fine, and she asked him if she could put anything up, and he said yes. So the next day she brought some of her things, a selection of some of her things, and he wasn't there. But the other art teacher, the woman, gave her the keys to the showcase, and she put them up, and she spent most of the day putting them up. And there were two portraits and three nudes and a kind of an abstract thing. And all the time, Miss Case, the other art teacher, was standing there giving her blessings and saying what a wonderful artist she was and how nice her things were. Until she got them up, all the way up about the end of the day, and Miss Chase started getting a little worried because she thought maybe Miss Poole, Dean of Girls, would be a little upset because of the news. So she wrote a nice little note to Miss Poole. And Mary went to see her, but she wasn't there. So she was going to see her the next day. The next day when Mary came to school, she looked in the showcase, and the nudes, just the nudes, had been taken out. She went running to the dean. She was furious, and she asked her why they had been taken out, and the dean said, that she thought that the students were too immature to view this kind of art, view, you know, the nudes. And so, Mary came up and she was very angry, and she took down the rest of her art. She said, you know, if you're not going to let me put the nudes up, I don't want anything. I don't want to put anything up. And they tried to talk her into putting them back up, the other pictures, but she wouldn't consent. And later on the day, I talked to her and I said, you know, we ought to do something about this and see what the students think. You know, are they too immature? And if they are too immature, then that just proves that they haven't been exposed to anything like that, and they ought to be. It's about time. They're high school students. And so she didn't seem to, I said, you know, let's petition. And she didn't think that was, she didn't know. I didn't think she was going to consent at all. She talked to her mother, and later on in the evening she called me up, and she had decided it was a good idea. So we met early in the morning at the coffee shop and wrote up 30 petitions, and they were worded very, very politely, and they said, we, the students of Lowell High School, think we are mature enough to view this kind of artwork, and we ask the administration to reconsider the censorship. It was very polite. And we had, so by the third hour, we had about 30 petitions circulating, and we didn't know, you know, where they were, except the ones we had. And there was one student who was real dumb, and she went up to the principal and asked him if he'd sign it, and of course it got taken away. And so by about the fourth hour, I was in a class with her then, and the dean called up the teacher and said that Mary should come down to the office after the class was over, which was lunchtime. So when the class was over, we went down there, and she did a very strange thing. When Mary went in her office, she closed the door, which she never does, and I was standing out there waiting, and when Mary came out, she was just foaming at the mouth. She just was in a rage and you know, like a state of shock. So she said, Ms. Poole said that if I don't get those petitions back in a half an hour, I'm going to be suspended. So she didn't know what to do. First place, we didn't know where half of them were. And, you know, it didn't seem right. So the first thing she did was call her mother. Now, she often goes and consents her mother. She seems kind of tied to her mother's apron strings. But this was a really wise move for her to make, because her mother is an old organizer from way back. And she talked to her mother. Her mother said, don't do anything. I'm going to call the American Civil Liberties Union, and we'll get it all fixed up. So I guess after half an hour was up, she was legally suspended, but she went to her classes anyway. And the lawyer from the American Civil Liberties Union called up the principal and the dean and said, no one can be suspended for circulating petitions. And when school's over, Mary's mother came and had a big talk with everyone, with the administration. And that was straightened out. So we kept the petition circulating, but, you know, they weren't going to put the nudes back up. And anyway, it turned out we got, so that day, all kinds of people heard about it, and she got phone calls from all the main papers in the city and radio stations and television stations and nudist magazines. And she said, no, I don't want to put anything in the paper. I don't think it would be very nice or something. She had a real funny reason. So a couple days went by, and we kept on getting more petitions signed. And the principal was getting real nasty, and we had a conference with him, and we had one teacher that was sticking his neck way out for us. We had 18 other teachers sign petitions, but this one, Mr. Englander, was really sticking his neck out, and he came to the conference, and he did most of the talking, and he had all these really great arguments, you know, saying, well, I don't think this is a matter for the administration. I think this is an educational matter. Don't you think the teachers should decide? And he said also that none of the rules, like putting nudes up or anything, no rules had been stated. There wasn't anything that the students could follow. They didn't put anything down. And the principal just didn't get any of his arguments. He just said, well, you can take your problems to the proper channels, to the student council, to the executive board, and then to the principal. And of course, as soon as it got to the principal, he would say no. And we didn't think it was fair that he'd have the last word in something like this. So he was getting pretty nasty. So Mary thought, you know, one more move, and he makes one more negative mood, and I'm going to put in the paper. So she did it. And her picture was on the front page, and then on the follow and the continued story in the inside of the paper, was the pictures of her nudes, and a very good article really supporting her. And then later, I think it was the next day, there was an editorial calling the administration Prudy and Prissy and all kinds of names. We finally got half the student body to sign the petition, 1,400 out of 2,600. But we never got the nudes up, but we really created a fuss. It was a great thing. Some things that came of this was Mary was offered a scholarship to the Academy of Art during the summer. And also a great feud was created between her and the art teacher. He was he took it very, very personally. It turned out that he was the one who took down the nudes because he was afraid of what the administration might say. He was real chicken, you know. And he or the principal wouldn't write letters of recommendation because she was applying for a scholarship to Arts and Crafts in Oakland, which is a very good school. And he just took his revenge out as much as he could. He said that her work was barroom art and that she traced it and that it wasn't any good. And he stopped giving her good marks. And he used to give her all kinds of privileges. He never taught. He never was there anyway. So it didn't matter. He used to let her walk out of the room anytime she wanted. She had art during a lunch period, and we used to eat lunch in the art room, and he was such a baby about it, you know. We decided that there were a bunch of 40-year-old babies running around the school, but we really did get the administration really scared. I mean, really scared. The goon of a principal was—he was so shook up. He went up to one student who had said something about him, and just got all emotional. And you want to take my job away from me, don't you? You do, don't you? And it was really, you know, it just kind of lowered him just a few steps more, and it was kind of hard. That was kind of hard because he was kind of low already. There was all kinds of things that happened after that. A newspaper was put out, and it was censored by the Board of Education. and because it had leftist views, and we were selling it a lot at Lowell, and we had picket lines at the Board of Education, and there was Harper's had an article on sex, which was censored at Lincoln, and which immediately the principal went in our library and tore it out of the magazines. And there were these two boys that were going to run for president, and the principal was afraid of their power, so he wouldn't let either of them run on the premise that they were on the pretense that they were too immature, which in fact they weren't. He said, you know, there was another controversy just before that involving a record that this one of the guys had made who was running for president, and it was called The Sounds of Lowell, and one of the teachers was suing the school because his voice was on it, and he claimed he was a professional singer and he wasn't getting paid. And so he said, well, you know, the principal said, well, that was handled bad and shows that he's too immature. And the other one was a yell leader, and he led a yell once at a football game that was obscene. It was against Sacred Heart, and the boys at Sacred Heart were playing too rough. And so there is this yell, it's called Sacred Heart Irish Team. And it has obscene initials, you see. So he used that. And immediately it was put in the paper, and then that was on Friday, I think. And then on Monday, Mr. Prino made a notice in the bulletin and said that, well, really, we don't have to go running to the paper on it for everything. We had talked it over with the parents of the boys and the boys, and have decided that they could run. When in fact he would have had to let them run. It was just, you know, he couldn't have. He just couldn't have stopped them. I don't know what he thought he was doing. Anyway, we really created a stir, and I really can't say the significance of it in so many words, because I guess I was quite involved in it myself.
Well, she makes vows in the island gravy. Every time. And she didn't know what the radio was. And we used to have so many, many people who would come to the door, and if we would be broadcasting, she'd say, "Mother's on the air." That sounds like someone on a broomstick, you know, "Mother's on the air." But at any rate, when she was three, we'd had a big family dinner up at my parents' home. And it was in late May, and we had a centerpiece of peonies. So Joanna, the next day, was describing this family dinner, and it was not taped at that time. It was a live show. And she described the table. She had really quite a faculty for describing things, you know. Described this table all fixed up so beautifully, and she said, we had a great big bouquet of peonies on the table and ants all over everything. Ants all over everything, and there was nothing to be done about it since it was alive. That was it. Ants all over everything.
Oh, did you always broadcast live then?
Oh, for years we broadcast live. Mm. Many years.
Oh my gosh.
After all, the program's about 38 years old.
We heard it this morning.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you? Who was on?
You were.
With whom? Margie?
Margie.
Yeah.
What in the world were we talking about?
A letter that you got from...
Oh, reading different letters.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. And there was some about dogs.
Yeah, dogs and cats. Something that you do with cats, that you do with dogs.
Mm. About Nikki?
Yeah. Something about the August issue or something.
about that June issue too.
Yeah. About renewing your subscription.
Get that done.
Well, they really heard it.
Oh, and what else was on there?
When I talked to Ed just now, he said, did you have a fall? Well, of course, that's been so long ago. And I said, yes. And he said, well, I didn't know anything about it. He said, I went up to negotiate for a new radio station yesterday, and I took a tape with me to play as a sample of what the broadcast was. And he said, on this tape, you said that you'd had this bad fall. He said, that's the first I've heard about it. Well, that's been at least a month ago, hasn't it, Meridol? Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. You heard it on the
tape. News. I just, one day I felt like packing about a week before, so I went and grabbed the suitcase and put all the clothes, my clothes into it. And it was packed.
I started them. I said, well, you better take this. You might need this. She gave me so many clothes I couldn't put most of them in it, and I didn't want to take most of the stuff. But
you brought about 5 extra blouses than I did.
Yeah, I know.
I only brought 4 blouses.
I don't know how many brought. But she, then she said, now make sure you write it down so you don't forget it. Yeah, you back.
That's my mom did too.
Write down what you took?
Yeah, we've got a list of everything we took, so we make sure so when we check.
So that, you know, we don't forget anything anyway.
But the last thing we, last minute when we put everything in, I didn't write it down, so when I got through with Roz's house, I had this whole big pile left that I didn't put in my suitcase yet.
Well, you did better than Joanna. She went away to college with only her pocketbook. Oh.
We need more than a pocketbook.
I've read so many things. I've worn everything I got, but I could have done without a lot of it.
Yeah.
But as long as you have it, why not use it?
When you travel more, you know, the more you travel, the less you take.
Yeah. Well, Robin took more this time coming here, and she's going to be gone for, gone for a shorter amount of time than she did when she went all the way to New York and back.
Mm-hmm.
Then she didn't take hardly anything.
Yeah, made our big suitcases. We're only going for a month.
Yeah.
When the bus pulled in, the bus that you were going to take when you left, did you feel peculiar?
Not really. When we sat on the bus, you know, for the first time, and I kind of sitting in a seat you never sat in before. And then
she kept saying, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I just can't believe it.
I really
and she said that the whole trip.
Well, we got to San Francisco, and I'd been talking about doing things like this when I was, I don't know how high. And, you know, with my girlfriends, we'd always run, you know, make believe, and we'd run off and plan a trip to California and leave, and, you know, one day just take off.
Pick up and leave.
You know, and then we were going to save our money, and we made lists of things we'd do. And I did it, and I didn't believe it.
I didn't believe you were going to do it.
I didn't believe I did it after I did it, and I still don't believe I already did it.
When I heard about it, I thought it was so fantastic, you know. I would love to have done something like that at your age. I didn't have the chance to, but I, you know, this would have appealed to me.
Everybody we met, though, they're so shocked that we did it. Yeah, How did your parents ever let you?
How did your parents let you? I don't know.
All we do is sit there and laugh.
I wouldn't have, if I had a daughter of 15, I wouldn't let her go. Everybody says things like that. Oh.
I'm so glad they're not my parents.
Did Roz feel that way too?
Oh, she was surprised though.
I mean,
yeah, she, you know, like, I don't really know if I would have let my daughter if she had asked. But I think she would have.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so much fun.
So who was the first person you met on the bus?
That guy that put his feet up to the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Did you leave at night? Was it a night bus?
Oh, we left in the
4 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Exactly sharp. She met me at our house, 2:30.
Yeah, we were late.
Did you have a dinner stop then?
Yeah.
That must have been where? In Iowa or?
No, that was in Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fairmont?
I don't remember where. I might have it written down in my spiral, but I can't find that.
Everyone piled off and ate and piled back on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but we brought a lot of food with us. We brought chicken and apples and celery and carrots, and the eggs got rotten.
We didn't eat any of the eggs. We about 8 eggs. We didn't eat any of them. But we ate all the chicken.
Yeah,
chicken
that was really good.
Who made that?
My mom.
And then people used cookies. To always start out with what they call the shoebox lunch.
We had a huge big bag. 3 shoeboxes.
Where were you when you woke up in the morning?
We transferred that night, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, we transferred that night at Omaha?
No.
Yeah, could it have been Omaha? It was.
Omaha.
We transferred at Omaha, and then we got to Salt Lake City, and we transferred again.
And then we went on.
Well, that's a long haul from Omaha to Salt Lake City.
Yeah. And that was the most uncomfortable bus we were on.
That was the worst bus.
The one you got in Salt Lake City?
The one we got in Omaha.
Omaha.
What was the matter with it?
We sat at
just
the
like
back
a horse
seat where there are 5, you know, things.
It was full?
And
yeah,
it was just packed. We were sitting there shoulder to shoulder like this. Oh. We were there for 12 hours at least.
It was sweating. Oh.
No, 24 hours.
Yeah.
We were in there.
Sleep? Or?
Yeah, and then it rattled and it shaked and there wasn't any light so we couldn't read at night. And, you know.
That back seat is uncomfortable when it's full.
Yeah. It's
this
uncomfortable.
Was the double decker then.
Yeah,
this
was
the double decker. That's the only one that has a 5 in the back.
The other one has 3 in the back. 3 in the back is real comfortable.
Oh, I don't know.
Right, you changed again in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we got a real, it was a nice bus, I think.
Yeah.
You
what?
We got a nice bus in Salt Lake.
And then
on
that bus we met a girl who was going to Oakland, about our age, wasn't she? That girl, she was just on the bus for a little time. She had all those comic books.
Oh, yes.
And
Jess kept saying, she was trying to look, and said, Kale, ask her to read one of your comic books, because she wanted to read it.
Was she really traveling with the whole question of comic books?
Yeah. She was just going from, Sacramento to Oakland.
That's about the main reading on the bus. You see grown men, and they're all reading comic books?
Allison told us once how shocked he was. For some reason, his own transportation had broken down, and he had occasion to use buses in Omaha for a short period. And he said, can you believe it? There were grown men on those buses reading comic books. Mm-hmm.
Then who met you in San Francisco?
Debbie.
They were all there waiting, Jesse. I wonder, who should I call first, so-and-so or Debbie?
Debbie alone, or who?
No, Debbie, everybody was there.
And who's that?
Well, Debbie and Randy and Woody and Robin and us too. And then we went to Salt Lake City to Sam Wang.
We went to Chinatown.
Salt Lake City. Chinatown to Sam Wang. We went to Ghirardelli Square and had some chocolate, goofed around there. And we had Italian sodas. Are they ever good?
Yeah, frankly, we got drunk.
Italian
sodas.
Italian sodas?
Yeah.
I've never had one. What are they like?
Well, it's actually like carbonated water with flavoring in it.
Oh.
And
almond flavoring.
Like you drink an almond, you practically feel like you just had a little too much.
Yeah, you're dazed after you take a couple of sips of that. But it was good. And then we went to drop Robin off at the depot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Robin was leaving that very night?
Yeah. At 10 o'clock. And we got there at about 6. So we had 4 hours with her. And then we dropped Robin off, and we met Bernie there, and he took Randy and Woody home because Randy and Woody wanted to go home. So then Debbie took us.
The whole night it's at the whole city at night, but you couldn't see a thing because of the fog.
Yeah, we went up to Twin Peaks, and she says, "That's the city." Where? All those lights. What lights?
Was Robin excited to be with me?
Yeah,
she seems so.
Randy said that the same thing happened to them when they started out for their trip. One day they just said, wouldn't it be fun to go to New York? And wouldn't it be fun though? Ha ha. And they left.
Well, that's the first time Robin's gone alone.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I'd have the guts to go all the way here alone.
Oh, yes, she would.
That's 2 years more of travel, then you will.
Well, maybe.
You'll be 17, Robin.
Well, she just negotiated the whole thing like an old veteran, didn't she?
But, oh,
I guess Deborah was surprised.
It's kind of boring, though, to sit, you know, on the...
Well, with your magazines, you won't be bored.
I'm bored anyhow, though. Even with them, I get tired of reading them.
Oh, then you start laughing and doubling up so everybody else starts looking at you.
So dumb! I can't help it.
Yeah, blame it on me.
Well, you know that makes me laugh. You're so stupid.
I didn't say a thing. I didn't say anything, I just looked out the window and
she says that, and she doesn't, she says words she doesn't know what it means, there isn't any such thing as,
I do,
Carol, do you know what you just said? She says,
I do too.
Wide-eyed eyes, mouth drop.
Where did you stay that first night in San Francisco at Deborah's house?
Yeah, Deb.
And then, what happened the next night?
The next night we were at Fogel's, all of a sudden, I don't know how, but... We were there. Well, see, we got up that morning.
We went to
we went all over Cost Plus and Fisherman's Wharf, and then we took a trolley car and a cable car to
and a bus
to Nina's. And then we got there.
By yourself? You were doing this?
Yeah.
Then we got there and we walked up all the hill to get to her house and then down at
Liberty Street.
We got there and we goofed around. They were just sitting down to eat. We were supposed to wait for Ellie there. And we got there and we just talked. And then we goofed around until Ellie came. And we went over to Debbie's and got our suitcases. And then we went to the campfire. And we came back. Oh, and then we went to Fogel's. And we stayed overnight there and stayed there the rest of our trip.
Not the rest
the
of the trip.
The wasn't going to take you home back then, or
is it? Back just, where?
You just met her there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were going to maybe have gone back, but we wanted to stay in San Francisco a couple days longer. And
she took Benji back with her anyway.
Yeah, and there wasn't going to be enough room in the car.
Who are the Fogels? Is this Nina?
No, Nina's Zimple. And the Fogels are some friends of mine. They used to live in St. Paul. They used to live
He's the one that runs that school.
Juvenile hall. He's superintendent of it. But they're real nice people. We like them.
We were never there.
We weren't there hardly at all. Every day we were doing something. We'd wake up and we'd leave. And we'd come back for about an hour and then we'd, sleep a little bit.
Then we'd
get
leave
up and
again.
Leave.
When did you go down to Fresno? After how many days?
Seven.
Yeah. We stayed each place about a week. I think it was a week every place. Except for, I think San Francisco was longer though.
No, everything was a week. Los Angeles was one day longer. Because we got there on a Thursday and we left on a Friday.
Then you went every night to hear the folk singers. They were singing.
Mm-hmm. Almost every day.
Yeah. Almost lucky. And those campfires, I think we got the coldest
night. We sat down freezing and and they were passing marshmallows around.
And you could roast the marshmallows.
It was a lot of fun. Lots of people there. The only one we stayed for was the one that Jean was host for. Usually we left about midnight. But the one that Jean was host for, we had to stay till it was over. Well, we didn't have to, but
we did.
It was
over
about
2
or
3
o'clock.
Oh, how'd you get home?
Debbie
and Steve dropped us off.
Oh, they were there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we walked most of the time. We walked home.
One night we walked home and it was pitch dark out and we walk up and there's a bunch of bushes standing out and I all of a sudden, there's a bush that touched me and I thought it was a snake and all of a sudden a cat comes jumping out and we sit there scared. Josh said, don't let me kill, don't go this way, don't go that way.
This tree is hanging into the bushes and the bushes overlap the sidewalk about, like the sidewalks are about like that and there's only that much you can walk on. And we were walking hand in hand next to each other, screaming.
When those cats come jumping on
the bushes. It wasn't a good idea to go home and play at night like that.
And we never did it again. We only did it that once. But one of them, we wanted to go into one of the concerts. And we had gotten tickets, but we didn't buy our own tickets. We didn't pay for it. The Fogels gave us theirs. And you're not supposed to do that. And we got there and... they said we had the wrong tickets. And then they said, where'd you get this? You weren't supposed to separate it from the brown tickets that were attached on, that were for the one that we were supposed to use. But they had taken that one off so that they could also use them. And, so then they said we never got into that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were mad at them. That was a good one. It was supposed to be. It had Gene Redpath and Tom Paxton.
Was Gene the host, or did he play? Did you say he was the host?
For the campfire scene, he was the host.
And he was the host for
And he played also.
He was also the host for that discussion
we went. Oh, yeah, we went to a discussion, the Beagle Mystique and Folk Mystique. It was real good.
Mm-hmm.
Did all these people where you stopped have spare rooms? Housing is such a problem today, or did you put up on Davenports, or what did you do?
Oh, well, so Fogel's, they had a Davenport that folded into a bed.
Is that in the living room?
No, it was downstairs. It was just like a little room down there, because they used to rent that out.
Yeah.
And we stayed in there. And then at Bluestein's, we stayed in, the first night we stayed in the patio, and next night we went into the bedroom and stayed there.
Mm-hmm. They all have houses.
Yeah. And then Roz, we had our own bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And here we do too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember about Roz's house where the poor little boys couldn't leave it. Too bad. Well, housing really is very, a critical problem to be able to put up someone.
How'd you get to Fresno then?
Took the bus. We hopped on it one afternoon. That morning, we were supposed to go on the boat ride up the
underneath
the Golden Gate Bridge, boat tour, and then we were supposed to come back and get our hair done, and then we were going to catch the bus. But Debbie got a flat tire, and so we didn't go. We couldn't go to the boat ride because it was too cold, and they weren't going to run, it was too foggy. And then we didn't go to get our hair done because Debbie didn't get there in time.
Oh, too bad you didn't go on the boat. That's great to look at San Francisco.
It really was too cold, though.
Yeah. Well, the place we were going to get our hair done is free. The freshmen do it, and they have to, you can get facials, everything for free.
The school.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So then who met you at Fresno?
The Bluesteins, Ellie and
Benji
and
Joel.
And
Evel.
That's Evel was there? Yeah, Evel was there.
Evel.
He kept talking about the letter he sent you about Johnny Appleseed.
Hadn't he received my
letter? Yeah, he said he had just received you.
Oh. Yeah.
What did he say about Johnny Appleseed?
I guess he had read the book and gave a report on it for school. And so he mailed her the report or something. Because it was about her book.
I wrote him a long letter in return.
Oh, so when we were there, Freda got a letter from her teacher. Because at the last day of school, she gave her teacher a present. And I guess she was one of the only students that had, and her teacher was so thrilled. She wrote her a thank you note.
And then she was going
to
write that.
So Freda wanted to write a thank you note.
What kind of a person is Freda?
She's really nice. She's very, possessive.
Oh.
How old is she?
Five. Almost six, I think.
When you
With
let
three
her
older get, brothers.
Yeah. But once you let her know that you'll do something for her, she's
going
to ask you to do everything, and she talks baby talk. And we immediately made it clear to her that we don't like kids that talk, big girls that talk baby talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she'd talk baby talk and we'd say, Freda. She'd say, oh, I'm sorry.
Did you watch the school at Fresno? This is where Robin's thinking about going.
We didn't see it.
We saw a little,
the
pools
saw the
are nice and the offices are nice. And it's nice, yeah.
Did we ever decide, Myrdal, how many students there were there? Did we ever get an idea?
I didn't hear, no.
I don't believe I did.
Did you meet some people, their friends there? Did they have any affairs or anything while you were there?
Oh, we met different people. Different, I
from
would say.
School.
Yeah, when we were at that college, we met, I don't even remember
college
anybody.
College school, we met some of the guys that worked there and some of the wives and children.
You mean, Robin spoke with so many foreign students you met with
Lucy? Yeah, there were lots of foreign students there.
Then how did you get to Los Angeles?
The bus.
Took the bus.
Another bus. Did you go inland through?
We went inland and through Bakersville
and Hollywood, North Hollywood.
Yeah.
And who met you there?
Roz and Alfredo.
We called them.
Yeah.
And
recognize Alfredo.
Funny thing, when he got there, Roz offered some ice cream. We didn't want any. He said, no, thank you. And Alfredo said, that's the first time I've ever heard American girls refuse ice cream. It was so funny.
And then, there was something else.
Oh, about the Beatles, because we don't like them.
He says, the first time
he's ever heard of an American girl saying she didn't like the Beatles.
Did he have a record already for you to play?
No, we were just talking about it. He doesn't care for them. He said he couldn't tell them apart if there was a picture of the Beatles here and some other group here, he wouldn't be able to tell which was the Beatles. But, you know, he looks at us kind of, you really don't want any ice cream?
I bet he went out and just got it for you, American girl.
Oh, I don't think so. Roz loves ice cream.
Yeah.
Roz loves food.
Well, what he said to us was he never saw an American girl that drank as much as we did. He said, you drink continually. He says, we don't drink like that. He says, you just drink all the time, which really wasn't absolutely true.
But he means, what kind of drinking did he mean?
Well, I don't know. He just got the impression that we drank all the time, you know, because, well, you know, I don't know, maybe we did.
Well, when we were there, when Roz had this case history she had to do about a family, and she was supposed to tell each of the family's problems, their history and of the parents, and oh, everybody in the family had problems. And she was very worked up over it because it was the first one she had to do, and it was an oral thing, and then it was going to go down in her record, and it was going to be taped and everything, you know. She was awful jittery about that. So the night before, she had two bottles of beer just in about 5 minutes, and she was just dazed sitting on the couch, you know. And then her mother came. Her mother says, it says to Alfredo, why do you let her have beer? She shouldn't have beer. You know, don't give her beer. Don't let her, you know.
And Alfredo said what?
Oh, he just said, well, she took it.
What was I to do about it?
Yeah.
Did she get through all right?
Uh-huh. It was really good.
Oh, yeah, she taped it for us, and she gave it to us once, and we heard the tape.
Oh.
It
was and she good. Had posters, and everybody congratulated on it. It was really good.
Which part of the country, you've seen an enormous amount of the United States, physically, geographically, which part do you like the best?
Minnesota.
My hometown.
That's right. I love Minnesota.
When we went to Roz's mother's house one night, and she had company, and they asked us what we liked better, and we told them Minnesota. That's the first time we've ever heard anybody say they preferred Minnesota than any other part.
But, I don't know, I love California because I like the freeness of the people. I mean, in Minnesota, everybody cares what you wear when you go to the library, the bank, or to downtown.
Oh, they think it's terrible if you wear shorts downtown. It's
disgraceful. It really. And in Fresno and Los Angeles and California, Berkeley, everybody walks around barefoot, you know. For all they keep, you know, they don't really.
When we went barefoot in the grocery store, we kept looking and see if everybody's going to notice us, because at home, you know,
there were lots of people barefoot.
I couldn't get over going to university and seeing the students barefooted. I mean, it just seemed.
I still, you know, I haven't gotten adjusted to Juliana barefoot.
No.
I think of all those expensive shoes you used to put on her feet.
It's sort of like going back to the peasantry or something.
Well, I don't know. That's what I like about it. One of the main only things I like about California.
Yeah.
Except I love San Francisco.
It even gets so hot up there, but you don't feel the heat because it's dry.
Yeah.
What did you think of Albuquerque when you got in there?
Oh, I love that.
It was unusual at first because it was so different.
But I don't know, I liked it. I don't know if I'd ever want to live there, but I like it.
Yeah, it does look like you're in a different country.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Was it hot?
Not really. It was
Sunday it was.
Yeah.
It was very
but when
hot.
We first got there, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got there in the evening.
Yeah.
Did you have a hard time recognizing each other?
Yes. Jossie says, the first time she saw Juliana and Robin walking, she says, I think that's Julie. She looks just like her mother. I says, well, why don't you come and ask her? She has... So we went out and they walked out in front there, and we went out and stand there, and we still looked at each other, and Jess said, well, come on, let's go back in again. And then she went out again, and then Julie says, Jossie?
And there couldn't have been too many two girls on both sides.
When Robin says, and then we told them the story we just said, and Robin says, "Well, I thought that was you, but then you know I never met you before, but from the what I've heard, you know, you look like you might have been them, but you know."
I think it's amazing though that she thought that it was Joanna because she looked so much like me.
Well, I don't know. I had only seen you once that I could remember.
Last December.
Yeah, and I just saw you for a short time one evening. But I don't know. It just, you know, I looked at her and I thought, well, that could be. But, you know, maybe it isn't. And then, oh, I'm wrong. You know, it couldn't be. Well, it could. But.
What did you think of the country around Nam Bay?
Oh, I loved it. It was beautiful. Secluded. You just felt like nothing could go wrong. It was really nice.
That's a wonderful description. Nothing could go wrong.
We didn't care about nothing.
It's so pretty, you know, just there. It's like how I feel when I'm out in the island.
Yeah, she gets lost the first night.
We were in that house and I woke up and I was lost. I didn't know where in the world I was. I mean, I knew it was in Nam Bay, in a house, but I didn't know where in the house or how to get anyplace else.
That was Monday morning?
Yeah.
You've been many places by this time. It's no wonder you were confused.
Well, there's a door leading to a different bedroom, which is the way I should have gone, and there's a door leading outside. I took the door leading outside thinking I would go through the other bedroom.
Then on Sunday you went to Truches?
Mm. Yeah. And Chimayo in Española and Sanctuario and I think that's all.
Yeah. Robin took us on that while Julie studied.
That's the old classic tour, you know.
Isn't that too bad? Julie gave up her Sunday and then
took
her.
But they read. They were just beat.
Did she say anything about her sunburn when she called?
No.
It's really so bad.
Don't you think Espanola is a derelict-looking town? Now, Truches is different-looking. It looks very foreign. Mm. But Espanola, I think, is the most derelict-looking town.
Yeah.
What was that? I can't remember.
I remember Espanola. That's where we stopped to get gas.
Oh, yes.
You coming back? You stopped there or going?
Coming back.
You went the inland road straight up from the...
I guess so, yeah.
To the...
Did you have MG?
No, we had Robin's Buick Ford.
Buick.
The great green elephant or the traveling trash can, they call it.
It's probably a gas hog.
I think it is, yeah. Well, we stopped gas once. We put a dollar in, and the gauge didn't change. Dollars with the gas, the gauge just stayed the same.
They must have all been broke, didn't you? I see them.
Yeah,
put
really.
Put dollars worth of gas.
Well, she
Robin?
Had...
Robin? Putting a dollar's worth of gas in?
Yeah, because she had a card, and that's what she wanted to use. But we couldn't find a gas station that took that card, and then finally we found one, and then we filled up.
Well, really, it wasn't a gas hog, because they filled up just before they got back to the apartment and picked us up. But then Julie forgot the suitcase, so we had to go back to the apartment, and Chris wasn't there, so we were chasing her all over the restaurant. And then Robin said at first, I think she's at her aunt's. And Julie says, oh, no, she was so hungry she'd go out to eat. And went to all the different places and went, was it somebody used to live or something?
Julie used to live there.
Oh, that
big house.
That place.
Yeah.
And then finally they went
the
to the aunt.
The house.
Yeah.
And they found her at the aunt. And they went back to the house again and got everything. Then we started off. That's where all the gas went.
What does Tate's gallery look like up there? Has he got it in his house?
It's not in his house, but look, it is a house. And you walk in and there's a kind of reception room, but it's, you know, it's nothing very glamorous at all. And there's a kitchen off to one side of it, and there's a table with some cards and of his on it. And then there's a gallery and there's lots and lots of paintings and different stuff sitting around.
Are they all his, or is there some
of
the local people?
All of them are his.
I saw some things at Christmas from up there that were paintings on deer hides. Did you see any of
that? We just saw it all on the frame.
They were $40. They were beautiful. I thought they were done by some craftsman there, you know. And
He's really got his own talent. I mean, no one else does it what he does. It's all, you know, it's,
yeah,
it looks so
it's
simple.
Different. It's got a different technique that
is
I haven't.
Primitive, like, you know, simple, like...
It's really simple.
Well, some of them are obtrusions, and they look amazingly alike.
Yeah.
And yet it's got an abstract shape to it if you haven't seen obtrusions before.
Oh.
You know, it looks like...
Obtrusions is abstract.
Yeah, well...
The whole family were gone on a picnic that day.
Yeah, except for... Mm-hmm.
How many children do they have?
I think they've got eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
I think they've got seven other than the little girl. Mm-hmm. And she looks pregnant.
Yeah.
On the way back. I wonder how he supports that family up there.
I don't,
you know,
really, it doesn't seem like anything
you can
do. It doesn't... I bet they don't use any money. I mean, it seems like they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you see, this is off the tourist beaten track.
Yeah.
Unless you know how to get there. And someone has been there and knows about it, people don't get up there. And
yeah.
That's why I would think it would be very difficult to make a living up there, because it just simply doesn't attract people the way, Chimayo is a very famous tourist point, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But very few people would go on to Truches from Chimayo.
Yeah. I don't know.
What did Robin pay for the painting she bought?
$15,
yeah.
Was it oil painting?
No, it was a watercolor. He had three of them exactly alike, a $10, $15, and $50.
Whichever he wanted to pay?
No, they're different sizes. The $50 was real big, and the $10 was about like that, and the $15 was, you know. And
I think that would be nice to have prizes like, you know, what you can afford.
I don't think I would have paid that much money for it. It really wasn't that great.
Well, I don't know. She must have really liked it, because it wasn't obtrusious. It was just flowers.
Mountain flowers. And she says it was just the opposite of obtrusious. But
you know, it didn't look at all like obtrusious, but she just loved it. And she couldn't really figure out why. I can't either. I didn't like
bright
it.
Bright colored flowers,
yeah.
Like flower
yeah.
pieces.
Uh-huh. I mean, I thought it was cute, but...
I wouldn't pay that much money for it. I
no.
mean, it just...
Do you have
well,
any sculpture?
Paintings are always expensive.
No.
He was working on a painting of the sanctuary while we were there.
He had one already done too, but it wasn't there. He had two trees, but one was gone. Wasn't up to date one.
You mentioned having steaks. Did you want to broil those, or did you cook them on top of the steak?
Broiled.
Broiled them.
Really?
Uh-huh. Didn't take very long.
It was real good.
That was when you got back Sunday night.
No, that was Saturday.
No,
or that
oh,
was Sunday morning,
Sunday
afternoon, before we left.
You had two nights up there.
Yeah, and one night.
Well, one night we left Sunday night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't, you know, stay there.
I think you should tell about the playing of the tape.
Oh, that was so beautiful. When Robin first got there, she asked him about the tapes, and he says yes, but he'd have to be very careful when playing, because he had to lock all the doors and kept watching out the window. And make
Robin
sure no
had
one
heard about the tape.
Yeah, before.
Well, she hadn't heard the tapes.
But
and she had heard that he might have tapes, so she asked him if he had any.
Mm-hmm.
And then he played them. Oh, they're really very beautiful.
Oh, they.
How did you get his tape recorder?
I don't know. We didn't
have one of them. Pocket or something.
No, it was a big one. But you know, it was like about your size.
I know, but to take it, he couldn't have taken a big one. They'd have seen it, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
I don't know how he did it. Well, most of them were outside ceremonies that he took. And, like, one of them was an outside one, and he had the tape recorder quite far away, and he had the microphone on a long, long thing in his pocket.
I see. He walked down there.
And really, he wants to get a very small, compact one so he can bring to the inside ceremony. So
But he says that he has to have a real, real strong one.
Soundproof.
And most of the, and you know, it can't make any noise when you click it. And you can't have to, it has to be able to take long tapes because you can't change it.
Well, if he expects to maintain a home there and live there, he had better be very discreet about what he does.
Well, see, no one knows he has
them. Nobody knows he has them, but...
Only him and his wife. He's not even his kids know.
Yeah, I know. His kids don't know he has them, and that was one of the...
I know, but if he's going to play indiscriminately to people like you coming in there, it's where he doesn't know you.
Well,
you know?
He said we had to be careful who we told.
That doesn't mean a thing. I think if he's going to make his home in Truches, I just don't believe he should do things like this, unless they know.
Well, they'd kill him if they found out.
And he says, well, you know, and we just think of what would happen to us if they came in and found us, what would they do to us?
And then it's going.
Did he say that? Did they kill him?
No, they said that they'd do something very rash.
There's rumors that they have killed people who just merely got in to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Or who just lurked along the way of the cross, you know, they carry the cross.
Yeah, they don't want anyone to know about it, really, so they probably would. But I'm just saying, well, I'm sure glad I'm not going to come up here during that period. I don't want to get caught.
Yeah, well,
he said they crucify
people.
Yeah.
At Easter.
Go the way of the cross.
Yeah, and she says that they would crucify anybody that came up during that time.
Yeah, and she said that everybody takes off their shoes. And the people they think it's a great honor to be crucified. And they all take off their shoes, and one pair of shoes are missing. And the person who owns those shoes is the one that's going to get crucified.
Oh.
And they do that the night before. And
Joanna told me that.
It was just so shocking, though, to crucify them. They take them up way up in the hills, and they do it. Mm.
Nobody knows where exactly.
We were driving along outside of Shimayo, and Mert had never heard about the Ten Pennies before. This was the last time that Russell and I were there, you know. And we had kind of brought her up to date on the Ten Pennies. And she felt some nervous and uneasy, and I'll never forget what she said. She said, well, I certainly hope they don't pick on any of us.
They named their little daughter, their new one, was something Marie. And each one, like the first one was a saint that brought back the penitentes. They were fading out, and she brought it back to reality. And then the second one was one that did something else for it. And then the third one, she was born at Christmas morning, so they named her Marie.
Mm-hmm. Did they hold her sacred because she was born on Christmas?
Mm-hmm. The penitentes do.
Yeah.
And all the neighboring children said, come in and they play with her, you know, and she's a doll. She's got the biggest
eyes. She's really
eyes.
Cute.
And she's the first Anglo to become a member of the Pemmicanies.
Isn't that?
And so the father gets to go in because she's so small, and then the mother carries
her. Yeah, the mother carries her in, and the father gets to,
Gets to go in and sneak in and tape it.
The father goes for her place to sit on her pew or whatever it is.
And then he's taping it all the time.
Yeah.
He's only got one tape of it.
Yeah, one big one.
And he hides that. Yeah.
Does it sound like a wailing or
it's like
women?
It's a man that we heard. And it
one
was
man?
A, well, both of them were one, but he said he has some with groups.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The ones that we heard.
Said
and
it was
a low, mourning, howling kind of...
It was odd, but it was beautiful.
You call it beautiful, though. You don't call
it was. No, it wasn't frightening. But, like, one of them was, they were both in Spanish.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't understand a bit. And one of them, he was saying to a 17-year-old who had just died, and he was standing over the grave. And it was something about... their friendship, and it was just, you know, you could just...
He was talking.
Yeah.
It was singing, but yet it was talking.
Was, you know, it was kind of like what Bob Dylan does with his voice.
You didn't hear any of the group.
No.
No, because the kids started coming back as soon as we got through, so you put them there right away, so that they wouldn't hear it.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, they had that about the Indians and when they first started to try and record them.
Well, one other thing that's great is he's putting it out at one of his daughters through college.
Yeah,
she's
the
in
most
college
expensive
now. She's
college.
Going to a law college in
it's supposed to be
Chicago or something.
Uh,
one of his daughters?
Yeah, one of his oldest daughters. And he's got to have money for that.
And he says that they say it's the most expensive one.
Yeah, that's what Robin said.
What connection does this tape have with the girl going to college?
Nothing, but I was just thinking about that when we were wondering how he could get money.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because how does he put her through college?
Maybe he inherited money.
Maybe.
He doesn't look like he could have anybody to inherit from.
Well, he probably could, but yeah, because up there, why should he waste his money on glamorous house and when nobody else has one?
Yeah, he has the highest fence. Oh,
such a beautiful fence. I love those kind. But he calls them coyote fences.
Were you in? You weren't in his house.
Right? No, we were in his.
We went into his house.
That was in his house. Because Robin said his house was off in the other direction.
Really? Well, they had a kitchen and beds and everything. That wouldn't it be their house?
I don't think it was because, I don't know, she said it. I suppose that's where they stay most of the day when the gallery's open.
When you got back to Albuquerque, what did you do down there in Joanna's apartment? Did you go out at all or did you just collapse?
Well, the first night we got there, we went to Old Town.
Yeah.
Oh.
And walked around there. But then we got back and we washed our hair and everything and we had our suitcases all over their living room and Chris and Steve walk in. And you know, they look at us, we look at them, we're sitting on the floor sorting and folding clothes.
It was Sunday night.
They're used to that.
Yeah, well, they just sat down right in the middle of everything. It's kind of a...
Well, you listened to all that big record, apparently.
Yeah, we listened to that when we were up at...
Yeah,
Nambe.
Oh, you took it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would the phonograph play that?
Yeah.
That's that one I suggested that we get to Juliana, you know that. I'll have to tape all that.
Yeah. Well, then when you got back the last time, did you go out again that night or did you just settle in?
It was
just
quite late.
It was late. It was about 10 o'clock.
You had to get up at 5, didn't you?
5:30.
We got up at 5:30. I was up at 5, but I didn't feel like getting out of bed, so I stayed in bed till Robin called to wake us up.
Robin called to wake you up.
Yeah, she had to get up because she had to go to school to teach.
Oh.
So she had to get up and she figured she'd be
there. Just to get up at 5:30?
She gets up at 5 o'clock. She has to be there at 7.
Wow.
Oh, my. I never thought a Reed would be that.
She sounds great.
She's a doll. I like
her. She enjoys teaching.
No,
she doesn't.
She likes the students.
Yeah, she hates the... She doesn't want to teach because she doesn't like the teachers.
Well, I know, but she doesn't have to teach them.
I know, but she has to live with them while she's there.
They're really the boss.
Doesn't she intend to go on teaching? Or if she gets married, she won't teach?
She's not going to teach. She's in this there first and last time.
If she doesn't get married, did she have any suggestions as to what she was going to do?
No, she didn't.
No.
She was just planning on full party.
And they were going to go, she was going to travel around for a year or something.
For 2 months.
That. 2 months, was it?
Because he had to go to Vietnam or someplace like that.
It wasn't Vietnam.
Someplace like that for in January.
In the Army? I don't
think it was, but it might have been.
It was something like that.
It's not what I understood.
Well, that's what I understood.
I didn't be too snoopy about that stuff.
She's sitting there talking about it.
I didn't pay too close attention.
I was telling the girls, they asked me how long they'd known each other, and I said, since they were 3 years old. I can remember Robin coming up when she was 3.
Was she as pretty then?
No, she was so terribly thin.
Thin?
No, she still
is.
She's thin now.
But as a little child, you know, she looked just as if she had leukemia.
Well, she said, I can remember when I was fat. Do you remember when I was fat? And I went, how fat were you when you were fat? And she says, oh, it was about 10 pounds heavier.